Grief is a natural part of life, and we all experience it at some point. By becoming aware of our emotions in the process of grief, we can begin to accept and move through our pain. Acceptance doesn't mean that we forget or stop feeling the loss, but it allows us to come to terms with it. And finally, we can choose to honour our loved ones by celebrating their life and finding meaning in our grief. Join me as we explore these pillars of grief and how they can help us navigate the journey of grief. We will explore this journey together, and you will hear from experiencers, experts, and researchers. I'm Jock Brokas, and this is The Pillars of Grief. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are in the world. This is Jock here. This is The Pillars of Grief. And in this episode, I am going to jump in a question I get regularly. And even though I've kind of spoken about this on my YouTube channel on different videos, I'm actually going to tackle this more in depth. And that is about dreams and visitation dreams, especially from our loved ones. So when we come right back, we're going to jump into that aspect and we're going to go into it a little bit deeper. And hopefully by the end of it, you're going to have more clarity in the whole idea about your loved ones visiting you from the other side. So I'll see you when we come right back. God bless. Are you struggling with grief? Hi, I'm Jock Brokas, a grief researcher, author, spiritual mentor, and renowned evidential medium. Join me on the Pillars of Grief podcast. Through personal teachings and interviews with experienced researchers and educators, I will provide valuable insights and support to help you navigate your journey through grief. I will answer the questions you yearn to be answered, and I'll help you understand your journey. Listen and subscribe to the Pillars of Grief podcast today on your favorite platform and start navigating your journey through grief. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. So as I said, I get this question all the time. I always get asked, Jock, do our loved ones visit us in our dreams? And why do they visit us in our dreams? And what does it mean? And I haven't had any visitations. And what can I expect, or how can I make it happen? And there's so many things. And like I said, I've kind of talked about this before on my YouTube channel in different videos. And you can jump into those videos if you want. Just go over to my YouTube channel and you'll see that. But I want to talk a little bit more about it. Now, I can't go into it in massive depth because it would take several videos. I would need to maybe do this, and I might do this if you guys want me to do this. I'll maybe do this on a series or something. But I mean, literally, there is books written about dreams. There is books written about types of dreams and dream symbols. Carl Jung, a very famous psychologist, you know, back in the day, and also a bit of a philosopher as well, he would utilize his dreams, the dreams that he had, to give him guidance in his life. And he developed his archetypes through those dreams. You know, dreams have existed in all cultures. And so they're a very important part. They're actually a really integral part to our spiritual development. And when it comes to the afterlife, or it comes to loved ones, it's exceptionally important. But let's kind of jump in and talk about the importance of dreams in different cultures, because we tend to think that, you know, everybody dreams. Even if you don't think you dream, you do, you just probably don't remember it. And there can be so much going on in your life that you don't remember it. But dreams have a particular meaning in all sorts of different cultures. It's not just our Western culture where we kind of get fascinated about our dreams, or even in paranormal and parapsychological studies, we get fascinated by dreams. As I said, there's been books that have actually been written about them. And so I can't do the whole content, I can't do the whole subject justice in just this small time that we have together. But let's talk about a little bit about some of these cultures. So, for instance, even in belief systems, in Judaism, you know, in the Jewish religion, fully embraces the idea of dreams, embraces the idea of dreams as being omens and warnings, or being divine guidance from the other side. And the same in African cultures, and in witch doctors and shamans in African culture would put a lot of emphasis on the dreams and the symbols in the dreams and what comes through in someone's dream. And in fact, even in the Muslim religion, and I can't actually remember, but you know, basically Muhammad in the Muslim religion had a statement in the Quran that talked about if the dreams were good, then they were coming from Allah, and if they were bad, then they were coming from an evil source with Satan. So even in Muslim religion, dreams play a fundamental role. And it's fascinating because if we also look at ancient cultures, in ancient Mesopotamia and Egyptian culture, dreams played a fundamental part. And in fact, in Egypt, the dreams were mostly about the other side, or it was guidance, it was divine wisdom, or it was an omen. People were dreaming before events or wars or anything. These omens, they would believe that they were becoming to warn them, or the spirits or the gods that they followed would connect with them in their dreams. In fact, in Asian culture, and especially in Japan, you know, from what I know, Japan, you know, in the Asian culture, but certainly I know from the Japanese side that they would believe that their ancestors would guide them from the other side of life, from the dream connection, from their dreams that they would have. It wouldn't just be about kind of warnings. It wouldn't just be omens. I mean, that's part of it, but they really believed that their ancestors would go on beyond them and guide them from the other side. And in fact, in some rituals that they have, certainly that I've witnessed in Japan as well, they would you know, maybe dream about their loved ones or dream about their ancestors, or they'd have this, you know, prophetic dream that would come in, and they would even consider that their ancestors were with them, and they would set a place out for them during the ritual, or set a place out for them at their dinner table, or invite them in to their home to come and be with them. So again, I am no expert on maybe the anthropological side of things. It's fascinating, but you can see from what I'm talking about is that dreams have played a fundamental role in our existence. In Greece and Rome, especially the Romans were heavily believing in their dreams. Especially they would look toward their dreams for guidance for battles and all sorts of different things like that. So dreams have played an important role in our life, in our culture, but we don't know a great deal about them. In fact, there's not a lot of research into dreams as such. You know, you're not into maybe, it's only just starting now where there's been interest in lucid dreaming. In fact, recently there's been an organization in California that was able to, through a lucid dream, control a car in that lucid dream. Now that's quite scary because you may get the point, people don't understand the difference between their dreams and might think that they can do something just going into a dream. So there needs to be a lot more research. There's very, very little empirical research into the dreams. And whilst we can speculate on their meanings, there's a lot of symbolism in them. But what's different is, what is a dream like when our loved ones come through? Well, there's all sorts of different types of dreams, and I'll jump into that in a bit, but I want to talk about a little bit about the difference in the dream. See, we all kind of dream. I know, you know, back in Scotland, back in the day, my granny used to turn around and say to me, you know, don't eat cheese at night because cheese will make you dream. I used to be terrified to go and get a bit of cheddar before I went to bed just in case I had nightmares. And nightmares are a type of dream. And suggestive, you know, nightmares, if we look at it from a psychological point of view, it's maybe all the worries and the concerns and maybe the egos and shadows aspect of us that are coming to the fruition for us to deal with. Or it's something that we've maybe watched a horror movie and we dream something really scary. Those dreams don't really have power. And there's a massive difference in the type of dreams where our loved ones will come through. You see, when very few people, I want to get into, I talked a little bit about the lucid dreaming. In lucid dreaming, it's only really 20% of the population would really have lucid dreams. It's a very, very special type of dream. Not everybody can have it. It's very rare, actually. And the lucid dream is almost, it almost has a kind of similarity to when your loved ones would come through. And I'm going to share something about myself and dreaming a little bit later on. So, you know, stay around for that because you'll be quite shocked. But the visitation dream is almost like a lucid dream, right? It's different. The vibrancy in the dream is so real, you feel that you're there. The vividness of it, even the rendition of even color or perception or auditory perception, a clairaudient perception or a visual, a clairvoyant perception in your dream. It's different to any particular dream where you'd have a crazy dream and you wake up and you kind of go, wow, that was crazy. I was in a boat in a storm, and you know, you remember it. It doesn't really touch you as much. It's just you find it's a crazy dream and maybe you feel immersed in it, but the visitation dream is something quite unique. In fact, actually, there was an article that I read recently. I can't actually remember the name, but he was Dr. Patrick, I'm going to say McNamara, but I might be totally wrong. It could be McNara or something, but I don't remember. I read an article where he was quite skeptical, actually, I think. You know, he had a more or less a material outlook to life. And he had mentioned that his mum and dad had gone 10 years previous, but he had this dream. And the dream was so real and it was different to anything he'd ever experienced. It was like he was totally immersed. It was there and it was real and it felt objective. It felt so real to him that it was different to anything else. And there's a power in that. That was a visitation dream. There's reasons that we're going to go into these kind of dream states, but that's really the potential. That's really the difference. There's a potential in a visitation dream for many different things. But it's completely unique to what you would experience normally in your dream state, even in a daydream. Or, you know, you daydream, you can be sitting. I remember it was at school, I would daydream. I mean, God, I would sit and kind of daydream away. And you kind of clairvoyantly see things or you feel things and your mind wanders, your imagination goes. But when you have a visitation dream from a loved one on the other side, it is so powerful, it's so strong. And there's a discerning presence. There's a presence in you, and you're able to discern that. You're able to feel that. And it's completely unique to any other experience. So let's talk about why. Why would our loved ones come through in our dreams, right? Because we've made it, you know, we've talked a little bit about the difference of it. It's so vivid, it's so real, it feels like you're there. It feels very objective and not really subjective. It feels like your spirit has really left and you've met your loved one there, or they've come through. Well, there's many different reasons that it will happen. And a loved one who's coming through, they want to communicate with you to let you know that they're okay, right? They want to communicate with you to let you know they're on the other side, and maybe they passed through an accident, but they look vibrant and they look young and they look healthy, and you know they're letting you know that life continues on the other side. So they can come through to give you a message, to let you know that things are okay, that you don't have to worry, that they've passed on and they're safe. And that can bring a level of comfort. You've heard me many, many, many times, ladies and gentlemen, I have said that you cannot heal from grief. But there is a healing aspect to your dream state when you actually have these visitations. Or I do perceive that we can heal aspects of our mind that are imbalanced because of trauma that we are suffering through maybe the grief journey. We can't heal through grief because we have to integrate it, but we can heal aspects of our mind that are imbalanced, or what I like to term is rather not healing the mind, but bringing balance and harmony back to that which is out of balance. Okay, so our loved ones will come through to tell us that they're okay, to tell us that they're fine in the spirit world, that they've crossed over, that they're safe. But they can also come through to alert you of something. Let's say, for instance, that you're maybe going to make the wrong decision. You're maybe going to go down the wrong path. And you will have a dream, and you dream about your loved one, and they kind of communicate to you that that's not the right way. Now, Here's the thing. As you know, Carl Jung's work will discuss the symbolism of the dream and what it could potentially mean. You got to remember that 90% of the time, your loved one's not going to come through. Like, my dad's not going to go through and say, hey, Joe, don't go down that path, or don't do that because that's the wrong thing. Don't make that choice. And it doesn't work like that. It's going to be a story. We're built for stories. We're built for storytelling so that we can learn and we can engage and we can actually embrace the lessons in these stories. Native Americans, in fact, Native Americans, they're heavily into dreams and even going on dream journeys. But they're heavily into storytelling, and that's why they would sit around and they would tell stories and they would learn from these stories, and their elders would tell stories. And same kind of thing in our culture where, you know, I'd listen to stories from my granddad and my granny and stuff like that, you know, but teach us things. So they're not going to come through and say, by the way, Susan, you don't do that. That's the wrong choice, because you're not going to learn anything. But they're going to give you subtle clues, and those subtle clues are going to come through in things like the imagery, the feeling, the sounds, the connection to each particular aspect of that story in a visual representation in a clairvoyant fashion. And so your loved ones then can come through to alert you to something. They can come through to give you a warning. It's also, if you think about it, and I wrote this in Powers of the Sixth Sense, is that loved ones will intervene when it's not your time to go. And so if we talk about, you know, when the Twin Towers dropped back in 2001, I think it was, I can't remember, but when the Twin Towers dropped and that tragedy struck the whole world, there were many incidents of people having vivid dreams and about not going to work and things happening in their life that stopped them going to work that day, and they survived. Again, there's elements of perhaps people who have lost their keys, or their keys were misplaced, or, you know, maybe it was moved by a loved one from the other side just to perhaps intervene, or angels or something. Okay, so if it's not your time to go, then the chances are is that you can actually have a dream about it if you're open to that sort of thing, as well as maybe the signs that are around you in the material world in this vibration. Beyond this podcast, my work involves delivering thought-provoking talks and workshops which are deeply rooted in my experience and extensive research. My objective is to bring a profound understanding of grief to your organization, turn an adversity into strength, resilience, and growth. I can help you forge a compassionate and supportive environment that encourages emotional resilience. We will create sustainable solutions for managing grief and loss. Understanding grief isn't a luxury, it's a necessity, a fundamental aspect of our human experience that directly impacts our work lives. As leaders, your comprehension and management of grief can be transformational for your organization. I invite you to collaborate with me on this journey. Contact me at jockbrokers.com. The other thing is that you can have a dream. Your loved ones will go through to maybe help you with your spiritual awakening and help you with your spiritual development. So that's another reason why they'll maybe come through and communicate with you. And again, it's the same kind of thing. They're telling a story. They're giving you the feeling. They're guiding you. Little subtle nuances that maybe that's the wrong path, or maybe they'll put into your mind a suggestion in your dream that maybe you'll see a vision. So let's say, for instance, you dream that you are traveling on a train and I'm just making this up, guys, by the way. So, you know, you're traveling on a train or a plane or whatever, and you get out and you walk down the road and you see a monastery, an old monastery, and maybe it's in a mountainside, and you feel good about that vision. You feel good. You think, oh, I'm going to go into that. You know, you're in that movie, if you like, right? You're in that movie. You're going to that monastery, and then all of a sudden, boom, you kind of wake up, right? And maybe there's some things going on in your life. Maybe you're suffering from other elements of trauma, or you're not getting on at work or anything else. And then maybe you're on a journey one day, and all of a sudden you come across a pamphlet that is about a retreat in a monastery, a Buddhist monastery, a Buddhist meditation retreat. And then you feel that urge, oh, wow. And then you remember your dream. And then you can put the two together, like, well, okay, that's a sign. That's, you know, I dreamt about this, and now I'm seeing this sign here. And you have, it's your free will whether you take that on board, but maybe you're meant to go to that retreat, right? So your loved ones can play these movies in your dreams and help to visit you in your dreams to give you that guidance. So they're also coming through to guide. So they're coming through to let you know they're okay on the other side. And they're also, so it's helping you on the grief journey. They're coming through to warn you of potential things that you need to know about and maybe change your direction on if it's not your time to go, or maybe the choices you're about to make are about to be, you know, terrible choices. And they're there to help you awaken spiritually. And that's just a very simple example of maybe how they would help you awaken spiritually. Or it could be a dream that you have. I've got a friend of mine, I'm going to talk about her in a bit. I've got a friend of mine, Karen, in Swansea. We're at university together. And she has some really good dreams. And sometimes these dreams can help guide her on her path or her studies. And it might even be about maybe something she's studying or something she's trying to get an answer to. And sometimes as we go into this dream state, we can also connect with our higher selves and get our own guidance. But we're here talking about our loved ones. And as I kind of get onto this, so this whole idea of guiding you, we'll go on to maybe why you don't dream, because then I want to kind of jump on to Karen's story, which is you. Now, there's many people in my grief community, and they all, like Denise and the group, she's dreamt about her husband or grandfather. And these are kind of communicative dreams, okay? And Jill, she's had many dreams for her husband on the other side that have helped to guide her or maybe even warned her. And just to let them know that she's okay. But then there's other people that are in my community that don't dream. And they get a little bit concerned that they're not dreaming. Well, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that you've got nothing to worry. You will dream at some point. Or there's another aspect to this that I'm going to jump in a moment. Just because you're not dreaming about your loved one, there's reasons why you don't dream, right? And you need to understand that it's not because you're being, a lot of people communicate with me, they're like, am I being punished? Why can't I dream about my husband or my son or anything like this? And they feel really bad. They feel that they can't get that same communication like others. So I want you to take away that, because, you know, the reality is that there's reasons for you not dreaming. And one of the reasons is because of the grief that you're going through. Because of the grief that you're going through, it's almost like an impenetrable fog. And so even your loved one is trying to get through to you, but your grief is blocking that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just part of the journey. It's part of this integration that you need to learn. The other reason that you may not dream is your own biology and physiology. There's maybe things going on in your life. Is maybe you don't sleep deep enough. Maybe you're not hitting that dream state. Maybe that REM sleep that you're getting, you're maybe not getting it. You'll be amazed I have a sports watch here, a military watch here, and I'm not one for watching time or anything, but I would think, right, sometimes I would think, I'd wake up and I'd say, oh, I had a really good sleep, and then I'd look at my watch and it would say poor, right, a poor sleep. It's monitoring my sleep patterns. And so I kind of want to use that example to let you know that there's nothing wrong with you. It's not that your loved one's not coming through. It's not that you've done anything to stop them. It's just part of your grief is your grief. You're still in the throes, you know, you're still on that journey of grief, and it's maybe deeper than other people. It's maybe not as integrated as other people would have it. And so you're not going to dream as readily as able as other people will. But then your natural biology and physiology, maybe you're not sleeping properly, and so you're not in that state to be able for your loved ones to connect with you in that dream state, because you're not getting that type of sleep that's allowing them to come through that veil and break through and to get and to communicate with you. The other reason that you may not dream is because you've accepted the grief journey, you've accepted it, and you've already received signs. You've signs of your loved ones, you're receiving signs daily, or you've had signs in different ways. And you've got to remember that maybe it's just very hard for them to come through because it's the energy and everything is different. And they can't penetrate that energy. So it's not you, and you will dream at some point as you integrate your grief journey more into your life. But here's something that's really unique, and I want to kind of jump back to my friend Karen's story. We were talking about this just recently, actually this morning. And one of the things that happens, and this is a great example, because many people will say to me, my friend or my cousin has dreamt about my loved one, I haven't dreamt, right? Now, just taking it and bearing in mind that you could be blocking it through your own grief, through your own physiology, your sleep, or different other, you know, different reasons I've given you, acceptance, or you've already had signs of that, but and you're not dreaming. 9 times out of 10, it's your grief or your sleep patterns, really. That's probably why you don't dream, you don't remember or anything like that. That's personally what I think. But spirit will always try and get a way through to you. And they'll come through the least path of resistance. And so often what happens, and people miss this, they'll say, oh, you know, my sister had a dream about my mother and she came through to her and I'm devastated because my mother's never come through to me. Why are you devastated? The thing is that your mother maybe not be able to come through to you because you're still deep in grief, and maybe your sister is more open. So the spirit will go through the least path of resistance to get to the person who can maybe then say to you, and it's up to you whether you recognize this, as this is beautiful, as your sister says, you know, I've dreamt about mum and she was this and this and this and this. And instead of you going, oh my God, mum doesn't come through to me, mum doesn't care anymore, she's coming through to your sister. And I understand that. It can hurt deeply. But think about it. If they're going through the least path of resistance, it's because they want to get a message to everybody. They want to get a message to you, right? And you need to have an awareness and think about this. So if your sister's telling you the story, and then you can embrace it and go, that's amazing. I'm so glad. I'm glad that she came through for you. I'm glad that you dream about her, because you can learn something about that as well. You can learn that she's come through, that she's okay. Mum's okay because, you know, she dreamt about her. So she's okay on the other side. And as you embrace that and as you accept that aspect, right, you start to come into more of an integrative experience where you may then allow, it may then be the catalyst to you having that communication, to you having that dream, right? Now, as I said before, there's many different reasons, you know, why we dream, and there's many different ways of dreaming. And again, there's lots of books and things on it, but I want to concentrate on some of these more examples toward the afterlife and towards our loved ones. So remember that when someone in your own environment or even a friend dreams about your loved one and then explains the dream to you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a beautiful message. That message was for you. Spirit has come through the least path of resistance because they haven't been able to get through to you on this plane. They haven't been able to get through to you because of your grief and the deep-seated grief that you're in. And certainly, if you're a candidate for PGD and you're suffering through prolonged grief disorder, the chances are you're not going to dream and you're not going to have that vivid dream. But they will try and get through. And 9 times out of 10, when people are saying, I'm waiting on a dream, I'm dreaming, and I don't get anything, you're also missing the signs that your loved one is sending you every single moment that they can, within reason, of course. And you can go on my YouTube channel and you can watch the video on many different signs and stuff. And remember, if you've got any questions, you can ask me. I'm happy to share what little knowledge and wisdom I have. But take it from me that that is a beautiful example. Now, I said I was going to share something quite funny in my own life. So I, you know, a lot of you know that I lost my father. My father passed when he was young. We didn't have the best of relationships. And I've dreamt about my gran, and I've probably had more visitation dreams from my uncle Tom, who was the monk in the monastery that I dearly loved. I've never dreamt about my father, right? I've never had a visitation dream from my father. And I suppose the way that you guys are thinking about it, that would be maybe quite upsetting, right? And when I thought about that at first, you know, many years ago, that my father hadn't come through to me in a dream, I kind of felt a little bit down about it. But then I realized that I've communicated with my father, with my work as a medium, I've communicated, but I've had beautiful messages from my wife, from my father on the other side. I've had signs from my father. I don't really need to dream about him because I have an awareness. I know that he's on the other side and I've had the communications. So I don't have to dream about him. So I'm not really missing out. And that's what I want you guys to think about. If you're having other forms of communication, whether it's from signs that you loved or you see, you feel and you discern and you know it's for you, then you don't need to have the dream. You don't have to have every experience out there of communication from the other side to know that it's real. But those of you that have had the vivid visitation dreams, then that's fabulous. And I'm in awe of people that have that and it helps them. Because there's an aspect, as I said, you can't heal through grief, but you can heal aspects. You can, you know, you can bring aspects of your mind that's out of balance and harmony. And so that's where dreams are very, very powerful. You know, we can have precognitive dreams. We can have intuitive dreams where we get answers for the biggest questions we have in our life. As we start to develop spiritually and open our awareness, we may have intuitive dreams that help to guide us. Our spirit guides, and not just our loved ones, can communicate with us through dreams. We can have premonitions. I've had premonition dreams. I've dreamt about disasters. I've dreamt about people, I've dreamt about all sorts of different things that have come to pass. We have premonition dreams. And as I said, our dreams from our guides or our dreams from our loved ones can be communicative, can communicate with us that a message that they're well or warn us or something like that. Lucid dreams are few and far between. And it's something I might need to study a little bit deeper myself because I've never really had. I mean, if I experience that, if I look at lucid dreams in terms of just not in kind of New Age books, but in terms of real research, I've had an out-of-body experience. I've had a near-death experience, which I'll talk about some other time. And maybe that can be an aspect of like a lucidity within that realm, you know, from that experience. But have I had lucid dreams? Probably not the way in which research has identified what a lucid dream is. But for those of you that have, I mean, and actually for those of you that have maybe had lucid dreams, then connect with me because I want to find out more. I want to hear about your experiences. I want to hear about the experiences of your loved ones coming through. If you have had a communication dream, if you've had a visitation dream and you have been warned of something or it was such a powerful dream that it changed your life and helped you spiritually, I want to hear about it. Maybe I'll write about it in Paranormal Daily News. Maybe I'll write about it in one of the other magazines I write about. Maybe I'll get you on the podcast and we'll have a nice discussion. But I want to hear about these stories. I want to hear what you're going through. I want to hear about your visitation dreams. I want to just leave you with one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Please, if you haven't dreamt about your loved one, it doesn't mean that you're abandoned. It doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. It's part of the journey. As I said, I've talked about why you're not having that. But our loved ones do visit us in our dreams. Absolutely. But the visitation dreams are way different. And I've explained how more vivid, how more of a connection, how more it awakens your soul inside of you, and you know it's your loved one. And I've had people that have reached out to me and have asked me, well, I had this dream, what do you think about this, Jock? And I'm like, that's definitely a visitation dream. And when they're telling me this, it's like, I know it's not a normal dream because they're explaining it and they're saying, but it was different. Jock, it was different. I never experienced it like this before, but I don't know what it means. Well, you'll learn what it means. And it's a visitation dream. And it's so beautiful. And my friend Karen had recently had a visitation dream. And it was a dream because it was the least path of resistance. Her uncle had just passed. She had a relationship with her uncle when she was younger. The other members of the family are perhaps, you know, suffering a little bit more. So he comes through to her. He comes through to her to give her that message. I'm alive. I'm younger. She was explaining to me the dream. It was fascinating. And it was back in the 70s. And everything in the dream, and here's the thing, everything in that dream that you have with a visitation, it will make sense. It's about storytelling. Remember I said that. It's about storytelling. The dream that you have will connect in some way, just as I, you know, we do with evidence, evidential mediumship. It will connect in some way. Human beings, we are storytellers. That is how we learn. All of the ancient tribes and cultures learn through their dreams and stories. And so just as she was able to put that together, we had a nice chat about it, and it turns out that it was a visitation dream, and she will have the opportunity to pass that information on to the other members of the family that will perhaps be the catalyst for them getting more communication or for them to begin their journey of integration of their grief journey. So, ladies and gentlemen, your loved ones are always going to come through in your dreams, either to you or to someone else who's close to you to pass that information. If you have any questions, reach out to me. Just remember that you haven't done anything wrong if you're not dreaming. There's many different ways of the communication coming from the other side. And maybe we'll dive into more aspects of dreams. If you want me to dive into deeper aspects and even bring in a dream expert, then please let me know. Tell me and share the stories with you. Thank you for listening. I'm Jock. This is the Pillars of Grief, and I can't wait until the next one. God bless. Thank you for tuning in to the Pillars of Grief with me. If you've found this podcast helpful, please consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Also, leaving a review can help others find the show and receive the guidance they need on their journey through grief. I appreciate your feedback and look forward to hearing from you all. Join my free online support community for those grieving and connect with others who understand what you're going through. I offer you a spiritual blessing and hope you will join me on the next episode. Till then, open your mind and allow the power of the divine to transform your grief to spiritual realization. God bless.